Welcome to the Grand Final Supercoach Coach podcast for season 2018. I'm Marcus and I'm joined this week by FB Donkey. Welcome back, mate. Your first show in a month. You've been missed.
Yeah, g'day, mate. I've been hiding, to be honest, for the last month or so. I have probably come to eat humble pie, so I may have gone pretty hard on you throughout the season, and now you're kicking my ass. So, yeah, let me have it, mate.
Yeah, it's been a bit of a cruel twist of fate for you, Mark. Yeah, look, I am happy that I've bought up, but I am a bit sad for you. It's not been very fun looking at your scores, so I can imagine it's been a frustrating few weeks and would have liked to beat you by a close margin, but I think we're pretty comfortable heading into the last round. So in good news, at least, our Supercoach Leagues, Mark, we've taken over the top two spots in over the last weekend, which is extremely exciting.
Yeah, that's so a week out to finally get into the number one spot and to have a pretty decent league as well is massive. That's a pretty big story. If we could potentially go back to back, that would be huge.
Especially after, I think we've stumbled quite a bit in the last couple of rounds. So for us to be able to do it to another group out there and to be able to take the lead late in the piece, obviously don't want to count the chickens before they hatch, but I think we've done sort of 9 of the last 11 rounds where we've been gaining on the number one league. So to finally break through is extremely satisfying, Mark.
We've had a hard luck story, in the last round of the Supercoach season, 3 or 4 times in the last half dozen years?
Yeah.
Definitely not counting our chickens. And hopefully the trade situation falls our way, which is what it's all about. Like some years we have some extra trades and that doesn't work out and you're supposed to go hard, and some years the extra trades do work out, or some years you go hard and then you need the trades. Like there's always a bit of luck involved and every season's a little bit different, and hopefully it just falls our way this year. So like you said, we've been making ground for a long time.
Well, I've got one trade left up my sleeve, so I'll try and do my bit not to drag us behind this week, Mark. How about you? Have you managed to hold on as well?
Yeah, I've got one trade left.
Great. Why don't you catch us up, or the community up, on where you're sitting at the moment and how you scored on the weekend, though?
So somehow sitting outside the top 9,000, I got down to 1,500 or a little bit lower than that the week where Fife got injured and I had him as captain. And just ever since then, it's just been a free fall. Just every single week, I've been way below everyone else. And I think the week that you scored 2,700, I was 400 behind that or something. So 2,400 on the weekend, which was actually a good score for me. Yeah, sitting just inside the top 10,000. So won't be able to say I've never finished out of the top 5,000 before anymore, but that's okay. I did things a little bit differently this year and learned a few things. So yeah, that's all right. And I think I was going to use my last trade on Turnbull out, Dutton in. I don't think that that's a very good idea, to be honest. I think that might make my team a lot worse.
I've kept the community slightly up to date with how you've been going. I know you haven't listened to the potty too much over the last few weeks, but no, it's good to get you back before the end of the season, mate. And at least it's coincided with our leagues doing well, and so hopefully you get to share in some of that. I personally scored 24.93 on the weekend. I traded out Heath Shaw for Jack Crisp, so 83 on debut was just fine. And I brought in Menegola for Hogan, and Menegola scored 112, so that was pretty good.
Nice, very nice.
Mm-hmm. Menegola's got Gold Coast this week, so hopefully he continues a good run. And Collingwood's got Frio, who Geelong beat up on last week, so we'll see how we go there. We both have a trade this week, Mark, so we have some skin in the game in terms of trade decisions, which is good.
Are you thinking Dutton in or
very much leaving the potato out on the windsill? Thank you very much. We'll go to a quick group update now, and Mark's Tankosaurus is still second overall.
Whoa.
The first placed team did change hands, third swap with first on the weekend, and Mark held strong in second. He's only 44 points behind first. with 1 week to go. So I'm sure everyone in the community, I think we've been following your story for more than half a season now. We're very much cheering you on, Mark. He did reach out to us over social media a couple of months ago when we said for him to identify himself. So looking forward to hopefully cheering on some good news for Mark as well post the weekend's results.
What's his profile been like? Because it seems like he's been top five, top 10 for a really, really long time. So, which would have been a fun season.
Yeah, exceptionally. I'm pretty sure he was there before the buys and he stayed there after the buys. So it feels like ages that we've been following Mark's team. So
that does.
Yeah, certainly done brilliantly. And maybe even if he doesn't win it, we should probably try and reach out and see if he's keen to come on for a season review or do an interview, you know, before the next preseason. Whatever it is, it'd be great to have a bit of a chat with Mark after the dust has settled.
Would. Agreed.
All right. We'll just give a shout out to a couple of other community members who are sitting in the top 20. That's Williams Wheaties 22 sitting at 17th and Nick's the numbers man sitting at 18th, which is a fantastic result. We've got three in the top 20. We've actually got 10 of the top 100. That's insane. 10% of the top 100 ranked individuals. And we've got 18 in the top 200. So the Supercoach coach community very elite. Much representing.
That was sad to see our mate Luke drop from like 14th to 37 with two rounds to go. Yeah, that's a bit tricky for him because he was really pushing for top 10 and now it's probably going to be pretty tricky after that one poor week.
Hopefully he still stays in the double digits. That's always still a massive accomplishment and he's got a lot to be proud of post 2018 regardless. But certainly these fellas have been propping our leagues up and beyond the Supercoach coach Aces and Queens taking first and second overall. And the Aces are 477 points ahead of the next non-Supercoach league. Besides those two leagues, we have nine of the top 20. So seven other leagues in the top 20 mark, which is massive. And 16 of the top 30 overall. So another domination by the Supercoach coach community, especially in the last few weeks. We certainly seem to be, the cream seems to be rising a little bit. We seem to be moving up, particularly around the injury carnage. And I think something like six of our ranked leagues are currently in the top 30 overall. So very good representation of everyone who registered for those ranked leagues. And just goes to show that the community has been building and building year after year. And we seem to be backing up last year's results, Mark, because we had a fantastic season last year as well. I think we had six of the top seven leagues overall. And so the community is certainly doing their thing. And we've got a lot to be proud of from that point of view, Mark.
Yeah.
So your advice paid dividends, even if they backfired for yourself by the end of the year.
And that's all right. Like, I did do things a bit differently this year. And I knew what risks I was taking on doing that. So I'm okay with that. I think really, like, the story of the week, other than us dominating the league and taking that ranking, is probably Moira's magic in the fantasy competition. Did you hear about him?
No, I didn't. What happened there?
So he was last year's winner in AFL Fantasy, so the thing that Warnie and the DT Talk Boys do. And he has just gone into the lead with 1 week to go.
Get out.
Not kidding one little bit. So he won last year and he is going for back-to-back and he's in front with a week to go going for back-to-back.
Jesus. All right. How do we recruit him? Is he some sort of savant? That is unprecedented.
Yeah. That's like, so obviously there's an insane amount of luck that goes into Supercoach or fantasy in general. So to get that luck to hit you twice in a row is like pretty crazy. But obviously, you've got an insane amount of skill as well to be going anywhere near back-to-back twice in a row. So, that's a seriously huge
effort. I definitely did not hear that. So that's crazy news to hear in the fantasy landscape. I don't know whether to cheer for an underdog to usurp him or for him to do that back-to-back. That's incredible.
Well, I think that I heard mentioned today that he's actually cheering for an underdog because he wants to share the love around and that he probably shouldn't win it twice in a row. So
you'll raise too many eyebrows for hacking, you know?
Well, there's no way that I could win it twice in a row unless I did have the keys to the system. That's for
some
sure.
Sort of Russian interference. That's all I could say. All right, let's get to some questions, Mark. I'm keen to hear your thoughts on all things Supercoach again after a few weeks without you. So we'll start from this first question from Bosman, one of our patrons. It's looking like Franklin might, in fact, miss. If so, who would you replace him with? he mentioned here he has Hawkins, Wingard, Gray, Heaney, and McLean. But I guess if we can try and give more options than less, just because we want to give people a few to choose from, just in case they have those options in their team already. I did read on AFL.com.au Justin Longmire basically pouring a bit of water on that noise, saying that he's played injured most of the season, yeah, and there's still a pretty decent chance he will suit up, even with the groin soreness.
So first of all, mini rant, after the Essendon game, they came out and said he hasn't been training all year, and it's amazing that he's even getting out there and playing. So I'm thinking, you beauty, Marcus has him. This is great. And then he's, what, posted 250s in the last 3 weeks?
Yeah,
that's not cool, man. I think he has his opponent's forward line outmatched, except he's relying on Wingard and Gray against the Bombers. But the one player that you mentioned before, Marcus, is actually Menegola. Against the Suns down at the Cattery, he seems like the player to have going into this week.
Yeah, he's certainly one of the top form players in the forward line at the moment, so certainly an attractive option. This week, there are a lot of top teams who are facing off against opponents that are no longer in contention for the eight. I think the bottom five teams play all of the teams in the top eight, which is pretty significant. So there should be a few options on the table, including maybe even going for a Smokey outside the eight, but an Adelaide forward against Carlton might be a decent option as well. You only really need them to have one massive round for it to pay off, so it might be the opportunity, Mark, to go out of the box.
Yeah, I probably wouldn't, to be honest, just because I think teams outside the eight, the risk-reward might be there, but they're incredibly unpredictable about what's going to happen. I mean, what we saw by Fremantle against the Cats on the weekend, they were in front at quarter time and then didn't kick another goal. That was just crazy sort of stuff. And I know that their players scored a ride in Supercoach, but yeah, there just might be some performances that are pretty lackluster this weekend that you might not have seen coming. So personally, I'd be picking players that are going to be from teams remaining in the finals.
It probably is the sensible call. You also don't know sort of what resting might happen. If there are any players with ongoing soreness, if the teams have nothing to play for, they might just get less game time and have it affect them that way.
I think for me, it's either probably Rory Lobb at 370,000 if you need cheap, or Menegola if you can afford anyone. I think they're the two that would be on my radar personally.
And Bosman does have Hawkins already, and Hawkins does cost a lot of money, but Hawkins is in ripping form. He kicked 6 goals again on the weekend, and against Gold Coast, you'd think he'd have as much of a field day down at GMHBA as he did last week against Rio. So you certainly won't go too far wrong picking a Geelong player. And I like your nomination of Rory Lobb there, especially with Dawson out of the side at the moment. It could be an all right consideration. Just note that they do play Melbourne and therefore Gawn this weekend, so it does carry a little bit of risk, but he is cheap. All right, next question is from Chris Lunn from Facebook. He says, thanks for an awesome season. He's in the top 3,000 in 2 Cash League grand finals, which is great news, Chris.
Awesome.
He wants to know who we think will be likely top mids this week. He's got one trade and a bit of cash, and he's looking to potentially upgrade Cornelio, who due to his time up forward, deep up forward as well, can be a little bit hit and miss with his scores, Mark. Considering they're playing Melbourne this week and Melbourne do restrict scores in the midfield a little bit, might be a relevant consideration. Any thoughts on that? And I mean, you've got one trade left. Do you have any injuries to contend with this week? Would you consider a Cornelio trade out, Mark?
I have Tom Rockliffe in my midfield.
Bigger fish to fry.
I'd almost trade him to Peter Dutton. One potato to another, maybe. The Doggies have the Tigers this week, which makes it a bit tricky, but I do think Jackson McRae has shown a bit in the last few weeks, so he may be someone you don't have. Seb Ross seems to be flying home. If you need someone a little bit cheaper, Nat Fyfe, he's at home against the Pies, I think. He could be a good selection, and Cal Ward has been insane for the last sort of 6 to 8 weeks. So impressed by his game. So there's some options that I'd consider, but really tough to upgrade Cornelio because he had a 145 not that long ago.
Yeah, he's either scoring 130 plus or he's scoring in the 80s, it seems.
Yeah, so that's in his last 6 games, he's had 2 scores above 140 and the rest below 100. That's not great.
Yeah, I mean, I really don't mind that option. I'm personally not faced with any injured players if Franklin plays this week. So there is some chance that I will chuck Cornelio. Oh, it's a bit unfortunate. He plays the second last this weekend, so you can't put the E on him. You almost need to commit to trading him out if you do want to.
Yeah.
Would you consider Pendlebury against Frio this week, Mark?
No, probably not over there. Thanks for bringing that one up. I know that I gave you a fair bit of crap for when I brought him in, but he's been pretty shitful since then, to be honest.
Yeah, when you didn't get to come on and niggle me, your boys seem to have dropped off a little bit, so maybe you should think about that for the potty next season. Yeah. Ablett against Gold Coast may be a consideration there. He's certainly been in good form, and he seems to be racking up a majority of the pill and not getting a heap of attention, whether that be a perception of him not impacting the contest too much or his foot skills maybe not quite being as on point. Whatever case may be, Selwood seems to be the one that's a little bit down on form more so than Gazza.
Yeah, even though Selwood had that massive game 2 or 3 weeks ago. Gaz has done some nice things in the last couple of weeks and been getting plenty of the ball. It's a good sign heading into finals for you guys. So, yeah, I think he's a pretty good pick.
And then I guess if you're looking for a smoky, a Matty Crouch type against Carlton might be okay. Although, as you said, Mark, with less to play for this week, that carries a little bit of risk as well. All right, next question is from Smitty Tim from Facebook. He's got 2 trades left, no injuries.
Wow.
Rockcliffe, so he's looking at trading a player down to upgrade Rocky.
Do it.
Yeah, and he's mentioned here that he could get potentially any position to replace Rocky. So if he had a mid forward that he could pivot into his midfield or back mid, he can actually trade to any position. So that was more the question I was going for. If you could trade in any position this week, would you be upgrading to, you know, a primo midfielder, or is there anybody in, you know, the back line or the forward line you'd consider instead?
I think you've got to go to the midfield, really. You've got someone like Nat Fyfe available for 560. I don't think that even Menegola is a forward. Like, I think that I'd still rather Fyfe or one of the other gun midfielders over Menegola. So I would be focusing on the midfield personally.
All right, next question from Jeff Lane, one of our patrons. He's got 110K, 1 trade left, and his 2 weak points on field are Petrarca and Hurley, and deciding between...
Yep, I got both of them and Rocky and any other weak points you want to mention?
And he's looking at a luxury trade from those fellas. I've got Hurley too, and even though his basement certainly hasn't been too poor, he hasn't been hitting his ceiling a lot, which isn't brilliant. You've got Port this week away. I don't know if that's a good or a bad thing in terms of his scoring. And Petrarca was actually looking really good, but as has been the case for most of the season, can't always translate that into Supercoach scores. So it does feel like a bit of a flip of the coin between the two. Any particular thoughts, Mark? Melbourne do play GWS, which is slightly more challenging opposition.
Really interesting observation I think you just made about Petrarca, that he seems to be doing really well, but just not converting it into points. I guess that's disposal. Like, he does turn it over a little bit, but like listening to the radio or watching the games on TV, you just hear his name over and over, and he's getting involved and he's getting the contested balls and kicking a few goals. But when you look at his scores, they're just not there at all. A little bit like Rockcliffe. Like, Rockcliffe's possession numbers haven't been that bad. It's just his point scores has been terrible. Look, I'm optimistic about what the Bombers are going to do this week. Hurley seems to have a higher basement, like you were talking about, than Petrarca. So he hasn't scored, or he's had 1 score below 70 all year, whereas Petrarca's had a lot more than that. So I would be leaning towards getting rid of Petrarca over Hurley personally.
I also think that if you're dealing with a trade-in that you only need to score well for one particular week, sometimes it's easier to pick that play in the forward line than in the back line. When you know a team's going to win and they're going to get plenty of opportunities, Geelong against Gold Coast, for example, your forward line generally won't go too far wrong. Even if they don't end up kicking the goals, they should have enough of the ball coming through the forward line that they're basement wouldn't be too poor. So you might not get the 150, but you'd think, you know, 100 is not too far off a reasonable expectation for Hawkins. Whereas the back line's a lot harder to pick. Backline scoring is a little bit more up and down. And even though the backline premiums have performed better than the forward-line premiums over the course of the season, I'm not too sure how to pick whether a backline premium's going to do better in a loss or a win. Sometimes you want the ball coming in more, so they got more opportunities to handle the ball. Other times, if the team gets crushed, the backline's under too much pressure to really do anything. It's really hard to pick a high-scoring backline week, in my mind anyway. So that'd be another potential reason to trade Petrarca out.
Yep, I agree with that.
All right. Let's move on to overrated, underrated, Mark. We'll start.
This segment's still going, mate.
It is. It is. I think the boys have enjoyed it over the last few weeks. Faz in particular, he's really got the hang of overrated, underrated. It is about the big calls, not about sitting on the fence, Mark. So I hope you're ready for some big calls here. Michael Hurley, overrated, underrated, mate. What do you reckon?
Underrated, to be honest. I think as a Supercoach player in the back half of the season, overrated. But he is an All-Australian defender, I would say, that has the potential to be in the top two or three defenders in the competition. So, pretty happy with Hurls, to be honest.
Where have you seen his game morph over the second half of the season? I know it hasn't quite translated into consistent Supercoach scores, but have you seen a more consistent pattern and sort of what can we expect from a 2019 version of Michael Hurley? More the second half of the year or the first half of the year?
I think it's been a combination of two factors. And I picked him even though Essendon did signpost that these changes were coming, which was that he's taken more of an individual defensive role rather than just doing the zoning off stuff and beating his opponent one-on-one, which has been really good for the team. And I think he's really, really good at that. There's also been a change in game style from the Bombers that were just chipping it around the back line and kicking it to him and kicking it to him and kicking it to him. We're going a bit harder down the line. So there was a couple of games in the middle of winter where he dropped a few marks, intercept marks, because I think it was pretty wet. So in those dry games through September and early on in the year, where he can take those marks a bit easier, he can be a very, very dominant player.
Next one, mate. Stephen Canelio. After 22 rounds, overrated or underrated?
Again, he probably hasn't lived up to Supercoach expectations, but I would say underrated. The fact that he plays for GWS, his leadership is underrated. His ability to win the contested ball and just keep racking it up. I just think that he is one of the absolute best players in their team and should make the top 50 players in the AFL as well. I think he's an absolute gun and underrated in Victoria. What do you reckon?
Sorry, from a football point of view, I definitely agree. From a Supercoach point of view, he definitely confuses me because GWS struggled more in the first half of the year and he did great. And then in the second half of the year where they actually started playing, you know, some pretty challenging opposition and winning through that, and him playing some time in the forward line to structure their team a bit better, he ended up scoring poorer. So it's hard to extrapolate where he's going to from here next season. But, you know, from a footballing sense, again, you know, the fact that a bloke of that size can play as your deepest forward, like he doesn't remind me of a Dustin Martin type, but he's just so tenacious at the ball and makes good decisions a majority of the time. You know, you can put him almost anywhere and expect him to make a fist out of the contest. So agree from a football point of view. From a Supercoach point of view, I mean, trading him out in round 13 might have been okay.
Yeah, absolutely.
Another interesting one for you, Mark. Josh Caddy. I remember in the halfway mark of the season going, mate, you made a great call bringing him in at the start of the season. I know you had a couple of unlucky ones, so you traded him out. But in the second half of the season, you would have been glad you traded him out because it was another tale of sort of two halves for Caddy this season. Overrated, underrated, mate? What do you reckon?
I'm going to say underrated just because he's kicked more than 40 this year, hasn't he? So I know that, like, if you're looking from a Supercoach perspective, overrated for sure. If he was playing a lot in the midfield, he'd probably be averaging 95 plus, but he has been playing a lot as a forward line and he's kicked multiple bags this year. So as a player, a little bit underrated, I reckon. I've had a pretty consistent tone here. I think you're giving me three pretty tricky ones, three ones relevant to my Supercoach team, three players that have struggled at Supercoach, but I think as footballers are absolute guns.
No, that's completely fair. And I think I picked from a fairly similar profile. They're just so confusing from a Supercoach point of view. Even with Caddy, you know, he plays fantastic football and he's not playing in the forward line for a team that's struggling to win games. He's playing in the forward line for the team that's a clear number one.
Yeah.
And he doesn't seem to always get the lion's share of points up in the forward line. So
just look at Richmond's team. They're just doing exactly what Hawthorn did as far as the spread of players and the spread of points goes. That even in Hawthorn's 3 years of dominance, there was barely a player that you would ever have in your Supercoach team, especially from a premium sense, because they just shared it around the points. They didn't even always win the points count every week. It wasn't about that. It was just about the system and doing it together and different players standing up from week to week.
No, that's a good point there, Mark. All right, let's go into a bit more of a review section to wrap up the grand final podcast. First question, what's your team worth, mate? Team value at the end of the season. I thought that'd be an interesting measure of how much or how well you've played the roller coaster of price movements.
My team is worth three Duttons and an Abbott.
I think that equates to 3 pennies and a dollar. I don't know how you calculate that.
No, it's not worth a lot. I'm sure that yours is worth a lot more than mine. I'm 13342.
Okay. Not really that dissimilar. I'm 13513.
Whoa. That's crazy. Where am I going wrong, son? Where am I going wrong?
Next question is from Bert Bort O'Doyle from Facebook. How many players have you kept from your starting round one team all the way to round 23? Bert's only ended up with 2, Devin Smith and Olango. I certainly have traded out a heap of players, especially premiums, throughout the course of this season. So I don't think I'd have many myself. Mark, do you know the number that you're sitting on?
9, mate. Seems like a lot. Maybe that's the problem.
I've only got 6, so I certainly recycled a fair few of my players. I quite the underperforming bunch, especially early on in the season, which I just did a mass cull on. Got rid of Pendlebury, got rid of Dalhouse, got rid of just a whole bunch of duds, Billings, and the list goes on. So only 6. That's pretty damn slim for myself as well. Next one, Mark, from at SupercoachDPW. He's asked for a quick Things I Learnt segment. Any thoughts over the last few weeks as you've been pondering the season?
Well, the story that I'm telling myself anyway is that I went for a value approach this year where I just picked as many potential premiums as I could in my side. And I think I sort of got screwed from day one. Like, Liver went down 5 minutes into that first game and he was already top of the scoring when he went down. And that just really threw my entire strategy into a really difficult spot. He was the one player that I just couldn't afford to go down. Maybe I didn't get to try it out properly. Maybe it wasn't the year for it. But I think that what happened is that has left me with a bunch of shithouse premiums that are still in my team, whereas the Guns and Rookies teams have sort of upgraded around that and gone a bit heavier with getting those real guns on field. So, look, that's part of it. I don't know what you think about that, Marcus.
I pretty much agree with that. I think my major lesson is trying to pick value premiums has just really not panned out for me, whereas going a more true Guns and Rookies approach would have panned out. So if I'm going to list out all the premiums that I picked at the start of the season that I traded out, you got Libba, Billings, Petrarca, Pendlebury, Dalhouse. I guess you can even chuck Goldstein after the year that he had last year. I traded in Shaw at one point. Yeah, just trying to pick premiums that I was hoping would return to their former glory really, really did not pay off this year. In fact, it hampered me for most of the first half of the season because I spent so many trades essentially just side swapping all those players that I've listed. And even if I look at my trade-in targets, Shaw, value option, dud. Grundy, rolled gold option, tick. Mitchell, rolled gold option, tick. Hogan, value option, dud. Simpson, gold option, tick. Walters, dud option, cross. Like, it goes on and on. Basically, all my value options have not panned out. Hurley's another one of those.
Yeah.
The top end options, Oliver, Kelly, you know, these are the guys that ended up paying off. So a big one for me, especially from a starting team point of view, is if you do want to, go for 1 or 2 because you can side swap them out. But when you go 6, 7, 8, 9, I just had a critical mass of these underperforming premiums that every week I went, oh, great. Each contribute to 10 points off what the ultimate premium would be in that spot. So I'm 50 points off and it's going to take me 5 trades sideways to get rid of these blokes. So, you know, for pretty much a majority of the season, Mark, you're kicking my ass. And then I finally accumulated enough of a critical mass of roll gold options that I just said, screw it, Grundy's so important, I'm going to bite the bullet. And at the end of the day, they're the guys that are pulling me through at the end of the season.
Yeah, I think for me, the other fact that has really destroyed my season is just not having some really key players. So not jumping on Grundy and Lloyd, they're the two that are just kicking my ass every week. That's pretty annoying.
All right, Mark, let's finish up for the week and for the season with another captain's corner, mate. Have you looked at your options at all this week, considered who you might be going with?
No, to be completely honest. I would say that anyone against the Suns, but the only problem with that is that, like, not everyone from Geelong can actually do it. So, and then, like we saw on the weekend against Fremantle, Danger just didn't destroy the game, even though like Geelong did, because not all 6 players can get lots of points. But you'd probably want a VC, a Cats player against the Suns, and then I guess some people have got Grundy against Fremantle, and that would probably be a pretty good pick. maybe Crips against the Crows.
Yeah, last week I said my top options would be the two rucks. Grundy played against Port, who have some sore rucks in Ryder, and Gorn playing against the Vardy-Lysette combo against West Coast. They seemed like standouts. And this week, I think if you look at the rucks and their opponents again, you know, you got Grundy against Frio, who are playing young ruckman at the moment, and you've got Gorn against GWS, who are playing a Rory Lobb that's been injury affected all season as well. So to me, Grundy into Gorn, sort of the locked away option that I'll go with. Awesome. Well, Mark, that wraps up another season, our 10th season together. Just want to say a massive thanks for all your contributions throughout the year and for your great advice, mate. Certainly helped our community to great heights, and your egging me on definitely helped spurn some good decisions too, so I'll take that. Do you have any thoughts, final thoughts, or any last bits of advice that you want to share with our listeners to round out the season, mate?
Well, I'm pretty happy to take credit for spurring you on and helping you make those great decisions. I'm also happy to take credit for guiding Luke into a top 50 ranking, even though I told him to keep Billings. And pretty happy to take credit for guiding our leagues into number one and two spot as well. But Moosey is going to be pretty shattered that you went very soft on me today, mate.
Yeah, look, I like to build people up, Mark, and you know, it's pretty clear who the better soup coacher is by the end of the season. So I don't need to, you know, add more fuel to the fire there. Is that better?
That's a lot closer to something that I would say, yes.
Look, I can feel your pain. It's you've endured a pretty rough slide, so I don't want to pour any more salt on. And like I said, I've appreciated having you on throughout the season, mate. I know your time pressures are getting more and more with the family and with more work responsibilities. So it's been great to do another season with you, our 10th season together. I'm so pleased that with 1 week to go, we've hit the front in the league stakes again. Hopefully we can hold on to that. And I'm looking forward to hoisting the cup one more time. And then who knows where we'll go from here into season 2019, Mark. The future is unknown.
It is, mate. Thanks for the season and good luck to the Cats over September. I will be disappearing for the summer and putting in some hard work getting the Bombers ready for next year.
Nice one, mate. And we do want to just give a final shout out and thanks to our whole audience, especially those of you who are still listening in round 23. A massive thank you for your support, for your words of encouragement, for your questions on social media, for your representing a Supercoach coach in our leagues. Yeah, we wouldn't be able to keep this going without such strong support from the community. So for that, we're very, very much appreciative. And a special shout out, as we've done all season, to the Patreons, without which we might not even have made it the extra three seasons to get to our 10th. I think without the support we've been shown so far in 2018, we wouldn't be saying, well, the future's unknown. We'd be saying, that's all, folks. And thank you very much for 10 great years. So a big heartfelt thanks to the Patreon community as well for giving a chance to keep going and just for supporting the show and giving a little bit back to say thanks. It could not be more appreciated.
And a massive thanks to all the people that have helped fill in for me over the course of the year, mate. Couldn't have done it without them.
Dunny, Faz, debut of Bryce, which was great, and Moosey as well, of course. And a special shout out to our Supercoach Coach vets on our forum as well, and anyone who participates in our forum. Too many people to thank, but I hope we cover most of them there. And all the best for grand final week. And with that, we'll catch you all maybe next season. See ya.
See ya.